All right, we will call the work session to order at 5:13 p.m. I have solicitation of town funds by the town, but why don't we start with the pavement management plan, because that might take a little little time. Jerry and Al have some additional information for us. Anytime you're ready, Jerry.
Okay. Well, first I just want to mention that I have this thing here. It's called a phone. Instead of the show I listened to last week, not being in attendance because I was told not to be here.
Okay.
Anybody had a question, they could have called me, could have saved a whole bunch of extra work for people last week and over the course of this past week. And I'm going to read something for you guys in reference to the pavement management plan and how that whole system works.
Okay.
It's out of the Association of Towns Town Highway Superintendent book, which, given all the tabs on it, I do read it, okay? And Section C, Article 5915, just so you're all aware, bring you up to speed, the Town Superintendent of Highways is required to expend the monies provided for repairs and improvements in accordance with the plan outlined in the agreement, within the limits of the appropriations provided. However, the agreement may be changed or modified at any time during the year in the same manner in which the original agreement was executed. Changes to the 284 agreement must be agreed upon by both the superintendent and the town board. That having been said, given where our oil prices are going, and with me following the state level funding, and the CHIPS, the Pave New York, the county grant for Mott Road, all these things that were yacked about last week, none of that holds any water because we're moving forward with the plan as written. I wouldn't agree to any changes in the roads we're doing. There's a lot of information that you guys aren't privy to and it usually isn't necessary. These are the roads we're doing. These are the projects we're doing. Oil prices are so low right now that, in all honesty, we anticipate completing this plan as written, and at such time as we get our exact final numbers, we're already looking at $100,000 plus, if I'm not mistaken, Al, of savings just due to the oil prices. At that point in time, I'll come back to the board and say, hey, this is our golden opportune time to do more roads, because you're never going to get the prices low. Our bids came in low on the hot mix just Tuesday. You know, great savings. Do as much as you possibly can. The statement of, well, we ought to hold on to some of this money. We might need it for something else. You can't use it for anything else. It stays with the highway. So, you know, squirreling it away somewhere does nobody any good at this point in time. The sky is not falling. Your federal level, your state level, your county level, then you get down to your town level. The only parts of my budget that come from anywhere else is Pave New York, CHIPS, that's state level funding, that's $160,000. The grant for Mott, I reached out and I asked our legislator, Brian May, what's the status of that grant, because I had my concerns about it a month ago. I'm so far ahead on this. And he says, Jared, it's a commitment, it's there, you do the work, you submit your voucher, you get paid. Even in these times, that was last night, I confirmed that. Okay, so I don't know what, you know, the only thing I could even fathom would be an intent to squirrel money away and it ends up in my reserves and then you pull it from there for next year's budget. Next year, the roads are gonna cost more. Pretty well guaranteed, gonna cost more. You're not going to get asphalt put in place for $50 a ton next year. It cost us more than that last year. Oil, How oil goes, asphalt goes, and it's cheap right now. So we're getting good prices, we're gonna move on, we're gonna get this stuff going. And I will come back when we know exactly how many dollars we have left with some additional items. It'll probably be mid-season, and say, now's our chance. And it's up to you guys to realize it isn't ever gonna get this good again. Not in my foreseeable future. So I said my piece, I think, pretty good. You got questions, you ask me.
Yeah. Why don't you explain the handouts you gave to everyone?
Yeah, so the front page is, you've all seen this before, that's the Cornell Local Roads Asset Management Graph. They target pavement condition indexes between 60 and 100 is the sweet spot for doing surface treatment and maintenance. On the second page, the fold-out 11 by 17, you'll see we've got all our hot mix roads on the top and then the chip seal roads on the bottom. All of the numbers in the far right column and the estimated cost reflect the bid that we're approving tonight for hot mix paving in today's oil price. Right now, our oil prices are down over 40 cents a gallon from where they were in February. So there's a $100,000 savings. It's actually a $102,000 savings from what Jerry estimated in February to today on our chip seal work this summer. To pass up an opportunity to get that maintenance work done at these prices would be a bad move. The other column I added that I haven't done in the past for you is I added a date of last resurfacing. You see on the top four roads, the last time they were paved was when the developer constructed them before we took dedication of them. We really haven't done anything to them. A little bit of crack sealing here and there, but we haven't done any paving. And then in 2012, all of Gaines Crossing and Country Lane was surface treated. That surface treatment was a micro seal. Had an expected life of 5 to 6 years. You can see we're 8 years out from when that was done. Those roads are in pretty bad shape. And then the chip seal roads, your target is every 5 to 7 years for resurfacing. You'll see a couple that are on Jerry's list that are 2015 in Shuba and Copper Knoll was the last time that they were done, so they're 5 years out. What's important to note about those is they're kind of outliers in that they're in the far northwest corner of the town, and Rabbit and Kibby were done in 2013, so they're 7 years old. They're right next to those two roads. It only makes sense to get those four roads on the same schedule long term, so we're saving some mobilization costs.
Well, actually, Al, also you got to bear in mind, these PCI numbers were done last year.
Correct.
These are a whole other winter on these roads.
Yeah, these are the surveys that we did last summer. From a hitting the sweet spot in the asset management plan from Cornell from a pavement condition index standpoint, we're right in the roads that Jerry's have selected are right where we want to be. Oil prices are low. Our asphalt bid came in really good. This is an opportune time to get as much as we possibly can done now, rather than waiting.
Well, technically, even what Jerry said, we can't wait.
Ultimately,
I guess I'm priming the pump for when we're done with these and we realize such great savings that our vendors, like our hot mixer, which is Roselli again this year, we always put them under contract for a year and a half where we can continue forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we get done with the first raft and we do realize all the savings we anticipate due to the low oil prices, if we wanted to pick a couple more and And I can tell you right now that this page here represents all the other streets that I had in my budget request last fall that I wanted to do this year, and the total sum of that's $397,000. These are all hot mix roads in three different sections of Radisson. They are literally coming apart. So, you know, we get an opportunity with our vendor where we can drag them into that section at these prices. We're damn fools if we don't do it. So, you know, these are ones that I had to chop off of my pavement management plan because the funding wasn't there due to the budget numbers that were set last fall. So we're getting an opportunity now to overcome some of that obstacle. Go ahead, Al. Sorry to catch
you. No, that's okay. You know, we're, and I say this every year to you guys, our most valuable asset is our roads. And if you don't maintain them, it costs, the actual cost per year service life for rural goes up exponentially once you stop doing the routine maintenance stuff. We're at a funding level right now that allows us to actually, instead of treading water, we're actually rising in the water a little bit. We're floating a little bit higher. We should take advantage of it while we can, knowing that next year is going to be a tight year. That's the crux of where we're at right now. And as Jerry said, if the state pulls our funding next year, it's $160,000. This year, we're going to get that $160,000 because Jerry's going to make sure that he submits his vouchers before the July 15th close of the state budget quarter. So we're going to get that $160,000 this year. Next year, we might not.
Unless you're making up on the savings of the oil.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you've got just from February to April, you've got a big drop. That's a
100 grand is 100 grand in my book.
Yeah.
That'll do 4 miles of oil and stone, or it'll do a mile plus of mill and fill. I equate everything to that. Dollars equate to miles. And maintenance.
It's an opportune time to, you know, that old adage of make hay when the sun's shining. Right now, the sun's shining on us. From a cost standpoint.
So Al, this number that you have, $834,300.
Yep.
At the bottom, how does that compare with, what number does that compare with over here?
So you see a couple.
You see the savings.
Yeah, you see a couple subtotal lines in my graph there.
Uh huh.
So the bottom subtotal line is the chip seal roads, which is the front page of Jerry's budget. You'll see my number is $340,800.
Uh-huh.
The bottom line for oil and stone on Jerry's budget is $441,800.
Okay.
That's the difference from February to now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on the second page is Jerry's mill and fill number. Mm-hmm. He was at $356,800, and I'm at $363,500. The big difference is Country Lane. I don't know if it's a data entry problem, but Jerry had Country Lane entered as 1,690 feet. Country Lane is actually 3,043 feet. So that is the, even though we got low asphalt costs this year, that data entry error is why you see a slightly higher number. On top of that, you'll see in our contract amount is with Roselli is $325,978. That does not include binder repairs, simply because we don't know how many binder repairs we're going to have until we get the surface milled off. My number reflects a 10% cost on every road for binder repairs.
Okay.
And that's, you know, over the 7 years that we've been doing this, that 10% gets us right in the ballpark, gets us really close as far as being able to. It's a little conservative, but usually in the end we come out I mean, last year, I think we came out with $8,000.
The big thing you want to bear in mind, though, is to hold back or scale back when enough hasn't been done year after year after year after year, prior to me, prior to whatever. Okay, you can't look back, you gotta look ahead.
Exactly.
We're finally making some inroads here. And as we've gone along, we have noticed by getting some of these done, we've noticed that the quality of the roads we're redoing, yeah, they're still shot. But our, like, binder repairs, we're not finding as many of those because we're getting to these through good maintenance to alleviate a lot of the underneath problems. Water gets through the top and then it blows the road. So, you know, if you keep on top of your maintenance, kind of equates to, do you change the oil in your car for $29.95 or do you want to put a new motor in it for $3,000? You know, I don't know about you, but I'll go with the $29.95 every day. So, you know, to wait to do things is crazy, and especially in this case. I'd be absolute foolish.
So, let's just back up a little bit here. I don't think it makes sense to debate the validity of this plan. We did that in the fall when we agreed to budget whatever it was, $834,000. We thought it was a good plan. I can't imagine why it would not be, if it was a good plan then, why it would not be a good plan today. So I don't think that's, for, at least for me, that's not the issue. All of this was premised on the fear that I still have, and maybe the fear is unwarranted, that we weren't going to have the revenues that we based our budget upon. This is an extraordinary time, and so I would have never dared propose spending a nickel less on this plan or anything else that's been adopted for the 2020 budget. It's very awkward sitting like this. If everything was basically the same, but we ought to talk about that. But before we do, I guess I just have a technical question for our town attorney. Is what Jerry Hall said, our highway superintendent, true?
Yes.
That this board can't make a change? I thought you said last
week. No, we can make a change, but it's got to be agreeable by both parties.
Oh, you didn't say that last 2 weeks ago.
make a change to the budget too. If there's a decrease in revenue, you can amend the budget, but you can't amend the budget on one side and not the other. We can't say, well, maybe we're not going to get enough money, so let's amend the budget and take away money from what we've already approved. If we do have a reduction in revenue and we don't have the money to pay for these things, then you'd have to amend the budget.
Unilaterally, the board can do that without the highway superintendent's agreement.
Amend the budget? Yeah, but we have to pay the bills.
So technically, and again, it's moot, but you're saying if we change the revenue side of our budget, we can also change the expenditure side without the superintendent chiming in.
Yeah.
Okay, you understand that, Jerry?
I would have to say no. I don't believe that because the money's already appropriated, the budget's already in place, the plan's already been signed by all of you.
There's two pieces. You'd have to do that in accordance with the new plan.
Right.
Okay, so if we did a new plan and it got approved, then you could change the budget to reflect the new plan. It's not one without the other, it's both.
Or you can, there's many other lines in Jerry's budget, so if the revenue wasn't coming in and you needed to save $160,000 someplace, there's lines in Jerry's budget that you could cut that from without Jerry having a say in.
Right, without
But the actual pavement management plan is a contract between the highway superintendent and the town board that those lines of the budget are going to be spent on these roads. So if the revenue isn't going to come in, the board certainly has the authority to slash $160,000 from Jerry's budget from any of the other lines without his consent other than road maintenance and construction. Because those are the lines that are covered in the 284 contract that every one of you and the highway superintendent signed.
The management plan gets sent to the county, which sent to the county for their approval, which they did. Okay, yeah, looked at it, didn't do anything with it, but it's for their approval. Then it gets sent to the state. That all figures into the big picture of how much the state's going to reimburse towns and so forth So they have a plan to see, okay, in the town of Lysander, they're gonna spend X number of dollars. So it's all part of one big picture.
Yeah, and I, again, I don't want to belabor it, because it, you know, it sounds like, well, I don't know what it sounds like, that if we go ahead with this, it's moot whether we can change it. But I'm still, it's still a little foggy, because I'm hearing some disagreement here. You know, if the sky literally fell yesterday, and X number of dollars we knew weren't gonna be there, I want to know for sure that this town board can act unilaterally.
I think I would think the jury would take a look at that and say, we don't have enough money to to finish your plan. Will you change your plan? I assume
a month ago, Bob, when this started, you know, I'm so far ahead on this that I've been watching this and thinking about this and looking at the numbers and looking at the effect, as I call it, from the federal all the way down to the town. And yeah, they've got some big issues out there. The county's got a huge issue, okay? But their funding, other than that grant for my road, has no effect on me in my budget.
I know, and I'm not worried about the county. I'm not really even thinking about the county or the federal money. I'm thinking about, which adds up to what? A couple of $100,000 out of your paving?
If all three of those didn't happen,
yeah,
the only effect, that would be your CHIPS, your paved New York, and that county grant.
Right, so about,
if for some reason all three didn't happen, it's $190,000.
Okay, let's call it an even two. So 600 and change came from the local residents here. And if the mortgage tax doesn't come in, if people can't pay their property taxes because of whatever, you know, these are things that we don't know.
Well, for example, the property taxes that you're talking about have already been paid.
Right.
So it's not like, they may not be able to pay taxes next year, they may be broke, but this year the money's already there, theoretically.
Right. And $500,000 of our budget, not, doesn't all go to highways, is from mortgage tax. That's not in place yet. We don't know what that's gonna do. So I guess maybe the time to worry about this then is in September.
When we're
putting the next year's budget together.
Governments are always a year behind the economy. If the economy comes back in January, we're gonna be where they are now. It's gonna hurt us next year. That's why when, as I'm going through, we're looking at making as many savings from this year's budget to you know, different line items from different departments for next year. Now, Jerry, and with the high REIT budget, I already said to Jerry that next year could be ugly for him because some of the things that you're concerned about. And when we were talking about this before, the state budget hadn't come out. And since then, there's been a couple of things that come out. Jerry got some things for the highway superintendents, and I received some things, and Tony as well, that they did put that money in the budget. They left it in there. Now, there were some things that said the budget director could modify it later on. That's why he's going to go out and all the highway funding, he's going to do that right away so that we can get our money from them when the money's still there.
July 15th is like a trigger date for the state. That's the end of a quarter. And at that point in time, if things haven't started to straighten out, the budget director could make cuts. And at that point in time, the budget director, any cuts he makes are supposed to be across the board in a percentage, okay? The only thing is, and it still hasn't totally been sorted out, we believe the CHIPS funding for highway superintendents, conversations are being had, we believe that's bonded money and they can't touch it, okay? But irregardless, just so you know, when this all started shaking out a month ago and stuff was trickling down to me from the upper levels, I looked at my plan and I said, what could be in jeopardy if everything went to hell? And it was the CHIPS, the paved New York, and the grant for Mott Road, total sum of 190. I looked at my plan and I said, okay, Mott Road, I've got on my plan at 240. It's a reconstruct, they're very expensive. The road is shot. It ain't gonna get much worse. And I said, Jerry's smart enough that he's worried about this jeopardy money himself. And I said, well, all my other stuff comes first anyway. My oil and stone, my hot mix. Then we get into the super projects after the 4th of July. Okay? It's that Mott Road represents $240,000 in my plan. Well, that certainly covers the 190, if you want to look at it that way, okay? That would be in jeopardy. So I had it covered. You know, I'll manage the money the best way we possibly can. And that was with a safety valve of saying, Mock comes after anyway. By then I'll know, I'll have submitted my documents. Did I get my CHIPS money? Did I get my Pave New York? And then I'll reconfirm before I put a shovel in the ground on Mock. The grant's still there. Well, I just reconfirmed that last night. So, you know, it's a commitment they made, they'll keep it. That's the way it was told to me, the 30 grand for Mock. So if we can get near that, you know, great. But CHIPS and Pave New York will have a little bit to do with whether I do Mock this year or not, you know.
Well, not only that, our money's going a lot farther this year.
Right.
That's the key. It's going a lot. I mean, so
yeah, we could save $100,000 potentially, or we could say let's spend that $100,000 and make the budget $934,000 by the end of the year. I get that, Bob. All I'm saying again is I'm not worried about the state money because it sounds like you've convinced me that that money is there. I mean, it's already been set, carved out of the state and county budget, and it's, I'm not worried about it. And it's only $180,000.
I just want to correct you though about my highway budget this year for road work was 1175.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 1175. So I'm worried about our commitment, which is about $800,000 from local tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And if all of our revenues from mortgage tax and like Tony said, we've already got our property taxes in for the year, of course, maybe we're fine. Maybe 2021 is the year we're going to have to worry about. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. I think we have to do some planning, and that's what I've been doing with the department heads to any place that they can save, and they've been doing a good job. I mean, even, you know, some departments are running pretty lean now, but they're looking at saving $5,000-$7,000 per department, and that's a real saving. So I meant to have it for you, but I didn't get it. I'll have it for you next time. I think I've come up with almost $100,000 for this year that was already budgeted that we can carry over into next year to help us with next year's budget. So that at least if there was some sort of a rate of inflation goes out, it shouldn't go up more than 2%. I mean, that's what it's been right around for the last 3-4 years. That $100,000 will cover that any 2% increase that we're going to get. So we could operate on the same budget we have this year, although some of that money's, and I don't know exactly where it came, you know, where it was because I wasn't part of the budget process last year. Some of that money's probably aren't going to be available. So we're gonna have to be a little tighter anyway, but we should be okay right now.
All right, so go back to what really preempted the discussion at the last meeting was the fact that we weren't sure if we were going to be receiving the fund. And that's what got the discussion going.
And since then, there's been some stuff out there.
Which is good. That alleviates my fears a little bit as well. And also, Bob, I do have a list here of the different departments that you thought we could save money in, which is good. And I'm fine with that. And I'm great with the low oil prices. And even with the pavement management plan. I am a little concerned with the lack of flexibility, though. Zero flexibility in our highway superintendent saying, well, I'm going to do that regardless of what happens in the future. I'm glad prices are low. I hope we save a bunch of money. I think any roads added to it are also a change to the pavement management plan, which would require an agreement on both sides.
Correct? Already said.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, I am concerned about the complete lack of flexibility when other departments are actually saying, look, this is what we can do. We know that we're in
the I'll answer that. It's not a lack of flexibility. It's a lack of your ability to do your research and your references and pay attention to what's going on and make it make sense to you by asking questions. Like I said, I got a phone. At any time, you could ask me something and I'd answer you. The reason you say there's inflexibility is because this plan and all this road work and all this budgeting is worked on all last summer, all last fall, prior to budget submittal, again in the spring, a revision, based on budget numbers and everything else, and the sky you know, you guys jumped off like the sky was falling, and it's not. All you had to do was ask, and I could have told you what monies were in jeopardy. That's my job, to pay attention to the highway monies. Don't overspend your appropriations. Stay within your budgets. Yeah, sometimes you have to do some budget transfers back and forth when you get hit with some bad truck bills or something. You know, there's the unforeseen. There's no crystal ball. Right now, we're sitting on diesel fuel at $1.23 a gallon coming into our shop instead of $2.43 a gallon like last year. We're sitting on salt that we didn't spread, salt money that we didn't spend. You know, we're in great shape, just so you know. We're in great shape as a highway department right now. Okay, but I don't have a crystal ball for next November, December, what salt usage is going to be. Nobody has that. So when you say inflexibility, you act like I'm not paying attention or I'm not knowledgeable. I am.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all.
The inflexibility comes from common sense. Uh-huh. Common sense dictates that when you have a golden opportunity to move forward and accomplish more, do it. Now, if next year things aren't there, we just can't. We just can't, but right now we can. Like I say, I'm not gonna step over a dollar to pick up a penny. It doesn't make sense. So when things like that don't make sense, yeah, the hair on the back of my neck stands up because you're wasting my time, okay? I've got a lot to do, all right? And this is nonsense right now. The pavement management plan was just signed March 5th, you know? I pay attention to the money. I work with Al on our programs. So, you know, either become more knowledgeable and ask good questions or stay the hell out of it. If you don't understand it, you're just muddying the water for everybody else.
All right, well, we don't,
more work.
All right, hold on, we don't need to digress here into name calling and stuff, you know, but it, even in the highway superintendent manual, there's a section, there's a paragraph, I can't remember what page it was on. But it talks about town boards and highway superintendents getting along. So this isn't an anomaly in the town of Lysander. This is a statewide problem. So what we have to do as a board and as a highway superintendent, we got to learn to be able to compromise, like you were saying, Pete. You know, be able to come to compromise. And I think when Jerry was talking about when he gets to Mott Road, he's going to take a look at it, make sure everything's good with that. I think that's some compromise on his part. But I think this is something that we certainly have to work on moving forward. But, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, I mean, you have to be willing to compromise with us, and we have to be willing to compromise with you, and we come to a middle ground. And I think that moving forward, if, you know, if we understand that we're willing to do that, and I think you're willing to do it, right, Jared?
I do my work and compromise with things every day.
Yes. And
but I don't have time for monkey business.
I think that, okay. I think that the rest of us can agree that we'll be willing to be a little bit more flexible or be flexible. I'm not saying more, but be flexible, and we'll come to a compromise. And
well, like I said, I have a phone with me all the time. You got a question, call me.
Jerry, so you know what? I'll rise to the bait, Jerry. It's not about calling you and having a one-on-one conversation. The town board does things as a group, and we discuss things as a group. You know what? You're getting your way because you made a point about the legality of your budget, and it all makes sense that the money for 2020 is really not in jeopardy. But I'm not going to sit here and be slandered and be... Come on, monkey business. And,
well,
I'm just saying,
I agree. There's no sense in, and I address that. There's no sense to go back and forth. I just think it's counterproductive. And
we're not going back and forth, Bob, because nobody said anything until that gentleman started to
stand. Well, let's call it a draw right now, and let's see if we can move forward, and. You know, so we can get
to work together. It really would be easy to work together and without calling people names.
You're right. But we'll work on that. We'll all work on that.
Good.
And are we good with that section of it so far? Do we have any more discussion on that?
No, I think Jerry made his point.
Okay. We're all good.
Yep.
We got a compromise, all right. Let's go to the solicitation of the town. And Mr. Girasi brought up some stuff, but I got a thing for you here. Just so you have it, probably don't have this copy. Mr. Rivazigno and I were talking.
I read this.
Oh, you read that?
Before you go into your thing, I can see that amazingly municipalities can't go out on their own and raise money. I was unaware of that. I still don't understand how Onondaga County, but maybe they're not a municipality, Tony, I don't know.
He's got it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What money has Onondaga County got out solicited?
I can tell you.
On its own?
I can tell you every thousands of dollars that I went out on my own and raised for Onondaga County Park.
Like what?
Wegmans, Berwick Chevrolet, Price Chopper. We didn't get anything.
But did they, when they made a donation, Wegmans, did they get something for that?
Yeah, it was a quid pro quo.
So they bought.
The Wegmans Good Dog Park.
So they got something in return. That's a difference than that's different than a donation. A donation is when you give them money you don't expect them. If I'm buying the naming rights, I bought the naming rights. I bought them. I gave you money for them. I got rights in return.
Oh, so then we can do that in this town.
If you have something to sell, that's one thing. But you can't go out and just ask.
Sponsorship means that you get to put your name associated with the program or activity, whether it's a bench or a balloon festival or a lights up on the lake. You can put your name. You can associate your name with that. Sometimes it's something very concrete, like giving me $60,000 to build the Good Dog Park, which has what concrete and fencing and all that other stuff, and they got to put their name on. Other things like 93Q and Miller at the time, and then Coors, we give money to offset the cost of running the balloon festival.
You just have to be careful that even the county does the same thing. If it's a proprietary interest or a governmental interest, they have. If you read that commission report, it also talks about advertising. Okay, people advertise, but they're getting something. Okay?
But you also were talking about the county has a charter where we get our authority from legislation.
Right.
That's a difference.
We can only do what the state says we can do. And the state has said that solicitation is against public policy.
Okay. So we can't do it, but the county can. I just want you to go on record as saying we can't do it, but Onondaga County.
You want me to go on record? You want me to be.
Well, whatever, Tony. I'm just telling you that.
But you don't listen to what I'm saying. Okay. The county has a charter.
Okay.
The town operates by what the state tells us we can do.
Okay.
You wanted me the other day to find me where we can't do something. I can't find you a negative. That's impossible. Okay? The law is not written.
It was blurry.
You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that.
So, fine. Town as a municipality can't do what we used to. I'll accept that.
Okay, that's the end.
But what we can do is foster or create or have created for us a not-for-profit 501c3.
No, we cannot create our own.
No, not us creating it. Some group can decide with our okay. Would you allow us to create a Friends of XYZ?
They don't need our okay because that would mean that we're sponsored.
They would have to do it on their own.
They have to do it on their own. Create their own 501c3. And if they raise money and want to donate it to the town, we can accept.
And not only can we accept it, they can tell us what we can use it for.
Right.
So, in other words, say Robert Girasi decides to form a 501c3 and calls it, you know, Friends of the Park, you know, Bob's Friends of the Park. Can go out, solicit money on his or the organization's own, and then come to the board, say, hey, I have this money that I would like to use for a statue of me in the park. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to puff you. I'm just trying to lighten it up a little bit here. And you can, you know, designate what it can be used for. But that's why we were showing this. Now, if you can find us something that says, you know, I wish we could do it. I'm in agreement with you. I would like to be able to do it. But if we don't have the authority to do it, we shouldn't be doing it. And if you can find something that says we do, we can revisit that again. But right now, there's nothing, and that's what this commission says. There's no authority for a municipality to solicit monetary or material gifts, either by advertisement or otherwise. So when you talked about advertisement, Towns can't do that. I don't know how the county does it. Maybe that's something you want to research, you know, but it's clear from everything we have from Associations of Towns, which is a private organization, and then the Tug Hill Commission, which is an authority, a state authority, that we can't do it.
I'm just bewildered because in Onondaga County, there's a Friends of the Zoo, a Friends of Beaver Lake Nature Center, a Friends of Carpenter's Brook Fish Hatchery. What else is there? There's a couple of other Friends groups. And they are 501c3s, which are independent, Tony. But on those board of directors serving as ex officios is someone from the Parks Department. So are you saying that there's obviously a relationship between that Friends group and the organization?
Someone from the county can sit on a not-for-profit board as a private individual. They don't sit on there as a board, as a person from the county to veto or approve anything. They sit on there as a private citizen.
They sit on it ex officio, which means they don't have voting rights.
Exactly.
But they sit on it as not as a private citizen. Maybe I'm being persnickety here. They sit on it as a representative of Onondaga County.
I find that hard to believe.
Ed Cochin sat on the Friends of the Zoo as an ex officio member.
To watch what's going on.
Yeah. But he wasn't there as a private citizen. He was there as a deputy county executive.
But he had nothing to say as far as
the vote. He couldn't vote, exactly.
Right.
But he had a lot of opinions to be expressed, and you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
So I guess, I don't know why what I'm sensing is why don't we make the effort to have a Friends group associated with the Parks Department?
We can't.
Because
we have
we
to have someone do it. Someone has to do it. We can.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, but we can cultivate that, Jeff.
Bob Girasi as a private citizen can do that.
Yeah.
The town of Lysand, Bob Girasi as acting as a town board member, a counselor, cannot. So I know it sounds like semantics, but the sheriff, when he was doing solicitations for Air One, both the sheriff and the undersheriff, Warren Darby at the time, were both on the Air One Foundation. But they were acting as private citizens, and they would get money for the helicopter. So yes, you know, like you're saying, you're splitting hairs. But could some people here be on a board as private citizens and form a 501(c)? Sure, but we can't do it as a government entity. Anything else? We good with that?
Oh, I'm not good with it at all. Because I still think that informally you can pick up the phone and talk to people and say, look, we can't do this technically and legally. We can't advise you how to do this, but it sure would be good if you people that have been supporting parks all along got together and would, on your own.
If you say it like that, say Bob Girasi, that's fine. But if you say I'm Bob Girasi, town councilor or Lysander, that's different. Right, Tony?
Yeah, nobody's saying that anybody can't do that here. Just can't be doing it in their capacity as the
town supervisor,
as a town, you know, as a town supervisor, as a
town official.
So.
So it is semantics.
What's that?
So it really is semantics.
Yeah, but it's the perception that the person who's receiving the information and say, oh, the town wants you to do this.
Right.
We don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want to say
that.
That's why the State Sheriff's Association, they're an association of sheriffs. They don't do it as Sheriff Conway of Onondaga County. That's why they do it. So are they sheriffs? Yeah. You know, are they doing it? But that's what the law says. So.
So you mean that little sticker in my windshield doesn't do nothing?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to call the sheriff about that. So are we able to move on? Or?
Well, the only thing I want to say as, you know, for the... To think about, we're not talking about an extraordinary amount of money, but the reason I'm so concerned about this is it's part of the community investing itself, literally but more figuratively, in part of what we do, and that's something that ought to be cultivated and celebrated, as opposed to saying, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. And for the couple of $1,000 that this XYZ group gives to the Parks Department to do whatever it does, Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a lot of money for a Parks Department program, but more important or as important is the fact that that group, whether it's the Rotary or the Kiwanis or something, is getting involved with the town in helping their fellow citizens. And I hate to see that shut off. It's a good thing.
But nobody's saying you can't do it as a private citizen. Nobody's saying that.
It's kind of, to me, it seems silly to say that I could do it as a private citizen. I'm not saying any one of us should do it, but it's like if the program is there that wants to be supported, and we had a friends group, you know, they can.
That friends group though is different now. Once you friends group, tell me if I'm wrong on this, endorses a political candidate, they are now a political action.
No,
we're
not talking about public. No, they're not going to endorse anybody, Jeff. They're going to work with the town to do good things, whether it's a big truck program or whether it's anything. I don't think you can find sponsorships for the highway department.
Keep in mind, they can do that today. The only difference in forming a 501c3 is that your donation, if it's not a 501c3, is not tax deductible. Yeah. But the people in the splash park, they can go out and raise funds and give it to the town. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, but I just want to make sure that when I leave here tonight that no one is thinking that Tony Berkenshire can't have a conversation with those volunteers.
Not to solicit money.
As the parks director.
Well,
as Tony Berkenshire, the Lysander resident.
He's not a Lysander resident.
All right. Tony Berkenshire, the community member.
So you're saying Tony Berkenshire, the recreation director, can't have a conversation with his splash pad people about, you know, coming up with some kind of program for the site. That's right. And he can't have that conversation, Tony?
I would hesitate to hear what the conversation is.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you got to remember the law says you can't do indirectly. You can't do indirectly what you can't do directly. So if he can't directly do it, he can't do it indirectly either.
But it goes back to Air One. Well, if the sheriff can do that.
Well, they formed the 501c3.
Right, and the sheriff.
And they were doing it as that, and that's
very much involved in the formation of that group, and you know that. And that's my point. I mean, we can do things technically correct under the law, but at the same time, you know, there's some grayness there in terms of being able to have conversations without feeling like you broke the law or something. And it's just too bad. I mean, I'm getting the sense that this is an uphill one, and it's you know, we just turned off all of that tap for this community. I think it's too bad.
It's not a penal law violation. It's a violation that's going to end up with a state controller.
Yeah.
Because the state controller watches the funds that we get and how we get them and how we spend them.
Well, you know what, Tony? I represent other towns, and I'm surprised that you haven't uncovered
this. It's never come up in any other town.
Because they're doing it. They're doing it. The town of Cicero does this. I mean,
But
I was in town of Cicero for 9 years. We didn't have any not-for-profits raising money like that.
Okay, so there was no private money coming into the town of Cicero Parks Department.
There could have been a private donation, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
there could be one here.
Tax break, yeah.
But it's not a town-sponsored organization.
Or solicited.
Or solicitation. I mean, you can go out and ask Joe Schmo, if he wants to give money, fine. Give money to the town. It's a donation. You can leave it in your will. That's fine. But we can't go out and solicit people to... Basically, the government's saying, you already taxed the people. To go out and ask them for more money on the solicitation is against public policy. You read the articles, I can't tell you.
This isn't on yet, right?
And what it says.
And do you have a problem if we go over a little bit?
Okay. You want to
start? No, he's okay. all right. The unionization of town employees. Mr. Diamond had some issues with it, but I think everyone received the information about the judgment. I think it was a PERB judgment, wasn't it, Tony?
Yes.
It was a PERB judgment, and the town lost, so the town employees, I believe, are moving forward with unionization. And I read the PERB decision, and When I talked to Tony, and Tony talked to the labor expert in his firm, I looked at it, and I've seen a few, and because when I was with the sheriff's office, we used to have to take a look at whether it was whether we had a winner moving forward or not. And so I've seen a few of them, and when I looked at it, it didn't look like something that we would be able to prevail on if we chose to move forward. I talked to Tony about it. That's what he thought. And then when he checked with his labor expert at the law firm, that attorney said that as well. So I don't think we should be moving forward if anyone, even, I don't know if anyone has the inclination to do that. Maybe one person, but I don't think that that is, that's a good expense of our funds.
So I raised concerns regarding a couple specific positions, not regarding the entire body of employees unionizing. So I raised concerns regarding specific positions. I still don't feel comfortable with it, but I had the same I had a conversation with you as well as our attorney. Feel like my hands are tied.
Anybody else?
Well, the only question that I have, presuming it's a done deal, what's the time frame, and does that affect in any way our 2020 salary and adjustments, as well as health care, whatever, health insurance payments by the folks that are not yet part of the union?
The actually, if they decide to go with the Teamsters union, there would be a significant savings to the town in the health care cost. So if they were to do that, it might be, does it have to affect this year's budget? No, because it's all subject to negotiations. But it may be to our advantage if we were able to come to an agreement because of the cost savings, and say, we had 6 months savings. Could be a substantial savings to the town. I don't have the numbers on the top of my head, but it's in the tens of thousands of dollars. So it...
That's great, that's the good side. But I guess the question I'm asking, Bob, is, so what happens next? Is there a negotiation? Because we gave the folks in this room, in this part of the building, what, a 2.5% raise?
I don't know.
And I think the Teamsters got something different. And the Teamsters pay a different percentage of their health care costs. I think where the folk, you know, Dean, I think it's like...
They got 3%, the Teamsters.
They what?
They got 3%.
And everybody here got 2.5.
I believe it was 2.5.
No, I thought it was 2, and then yes, because the insurance went up, so
your
it was like they got a 1%.
5-year deal,
right?
2.5% per year, increase of 1% in their health care costs each year, jumping off at 8% is what they were at. So at the end of their contract, they'll be contributing 13%
right.
to their health care.
And I so like that. I like what the Teamsters are doing.
I'm just saying that's what my guys are.
But I think the folks in this building are paying less for their health care.
I know, we're at 12%.
You're at 12?
We're at 12 already, and we got 2% this year.
Okay, so you got 2. So there is a little discrepancy, and I'm just wondering how we deal with that. Is that something that happens in negotiations?
It's all negotiable. So we would have to sit down with the, and it's my understanding that there's going to be another separate bargaining unit, okay, separate from the highway and the parks, and then we would have to sit down, come up with a contract that we would have to agree to too. It's not, you know, we have to agree to it. So if we don't like it, then okay, we don't have to agree to
and
it.
And obviously elected officials are exempt from that. We can't, so we don't see any of that percentage.
Okay. Well, just keep us up to speed.
Okay. Town hall reopening. I was gearing up. We had a meeting the other day, Tuesday, to gear up to bring things, bring everybody back to work. And now the governor passed a resolution today that he's extending that executive order till May 15th. So that affects us as well. So we're back to the drawing board. We're
going to be bringing people back slowly anyway, because we have all new computers coming in. So Al and I were talking today, there's going to be a learning curve there. So it probably, you know, it isn't that bad of a deal for us, because there may be some glitches with the software and things like that that we can take care of ahead of time. And if the, I know the county executive was talking this morning or this afternoon about approaching the governor about maybe reopening Central New York, Syracuse area, sooner than the governor plans on opening up the state, which is good news. So that could change, but we're still moving towards that. Hopefully that'll be done soon. Anything on that? No? Everybody good? Okay. Parks programs. Something that we might want to think about is if this social distancing continues for any period of time, and depending on what they're saying, we ought to start looking at, and did I give you this before, the list that I made up with? Okay, so you have the list, and if anybody needs another copy, I'll get it to you. The list of the current one, the current park programs that we do right now, might want to take a look at that, start thinking about it. Maybe we can put it on the agenda for the next town board meeting and decide what we're going to do with our parks program. So that's, you know, a changing and evolving situation.
I don't know if everybody, did everybody see the letter from Radisson to the county executive?
I saw it, yeah.
They have their annual
yard sale. Yard sale, right.
She's asked McMahon to chime in on that, because it's not Radisson's yard sale.
Right.
Private people, so.
Exactly.
I just heard they're going to do it in September.
In September?
Mm-hmm. September. That could be good.
Hopefully, everything will be normal.
Anything else with that? Are we good with our work session? All right. We'll close the work session at 6:08. 5 minutes to do what